Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us today. We'd love to hear from you, because if you have a Bible question or some pressing issue in life you can't quite deal with, well, we encourage you to call right now, 844-322-2742. That's the number for the U.S. and Canada, and we want to hear from you right now, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you, Bob. We're talking about how to go against the current, how to stand out as a believer in Christ instead of blending in to the culture. And Andrew, welcome to Basic Gospel today. It's great to have you.
Hey, great to be with you.
Yeah, well, one thing that really distinguishes us from every other religion, every other philosophy, is this word new covenant, this phrase new covenant. And we talk about that a lot here on Basic Gospel. It's kind of the signature subject that you discuss as well, Andrew. But for many, when they hear that phrase new covenant, it sounds kind of boring, sounds kind of theological, sounds ritualistic. What in the world are we talking about when we say new covenant, and how is it really the distinguishing mark of Christianity, and how does it make us stand apart as believers in Christ?
Yeah, so Hebrews 8 kind of gives us the best encapsulation of what the new covenant is, and there was fault found with the people of Israel. Their problem was they could never do it right. They could never be consistent. They could never be obedient. They could never be faithful. So the first thing we see in Hebrews 8 is that the new covenant is God's answer to our faithfulness problem. I mean, we've got a dedication problem. We've got an obedience problem. We are unable to keep up our end of any bargain with God. And so Hebrews 8 says, days are coming, I'll effect a new covenant. It won't be like the covenant that I made before. And then as Hebrews 8 unfolds, Bob, we see really two or three amazing things. I mean, first we see the new covenant is a download. It's God's desires downloaded to your heart, downloaded to your mind, so that you are internally operating as a believer in union with Christ. You're not looking at tablets of stone to figure out what to do. You're looking within where Christ dwells, and he's inspiring and motivating, all because of this new covenant download. And then in Hebrews 8, we see there's a deletion. I will remember your sins no more. So no track record held against you, no record of your wrongs removed as far as the east is from the west. That's the new covenant. It solves our faithfulness problem. It is a download of God's desires to our heart and mind. It is a deletion of our sin record, never held against us. And then finally, he says, every child of God is going to know him, whether it's the five-year-old or the Bible scholar or the pastor over here or the person who's working in the car wash over here. Anybody that's in Christ will intuitively know Jesus. And so that is the new covenant, and that's what sets Christianity apart. You're right. I mean, so many world religions are about us trying to climb up to God. And this new covenant is about God preparing everything in advance so that we would be new and forgiven and clean and close. That's the new covenant promise.
Yes, it is. And we can even distill that down further to one word and call it grace. I mean, This is the gospel of grace, this new covenant that God has brought about through the death of Christ. That's when it started, when Christ died at that cross 2,000 years ago. He put an end to the old covenant. He fulfilled it in every aspect. And then he ushered in this new covenant, and it's this new covenant that we live in today. And I know, Andrew, many believers try to mix the old and the new. They don't make the distinction. They don't take a solid stand on the fact that they are living in the new covenant and they're new covenant believers. And I think if you're in that category, you need to come to a place where you make a declaration and simply say, I am new covenant. God has purchased me, has redeemed me, has cleansed me, has forgiven me, has made me righteous, has poured his spirit into my heart, has made me new through and through. I'm going to live in that new covenant. I'm not going to mix the two. I'm not going to try to bring the old into the new. That's just going to rob the old of its purpose and rob the grace of its power. So it's time to make a declaration, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And this is scattered. It is peppered all through the New Testament. I mean, Luke 22 says Jesus is holding up this glass, this cup, and he says, "This is the new covenant in my blood." He's announcing that through the cross, there is going to be a new way, and that's God's new way of grace. And then Paul says in 2 Corinthians, you're only qualified to minister one thing. He's made you adequate. He's made you qualified. He's made you capable in him as a minister of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the spirit. For the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. So whether we're looking at Hebrews, which is so beautiful on this topic, or maybe we're flipping back to Luke, where Jesus first announces this, or we're seeing, what am I capable of? What am I qualified for? To wake up, and as I open my mouth about Jesus, what message should be coming out? Well, apparently, we're only qualified to minister this new covenant of God's grace. So that's why we here at Basic Gospel, we're talking about it on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and every day, guys, because this is the greatest message on the planet.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Well, it is Basic Gospel. Andrew Farley joining Bob Christer and me. I'm Bob Davis, and we have calls on the board. We're going to get to them very, very quickly. We need to get rolling on those. But just before we go there, if you are an Amazon Prime member, you probably know that today is the second and final day of Amazon Prime Days, when their Prime customers are offered some very special deals on many items. But the sweet thing is that you can use these Prime Days to support Basic Gospel. All you need to do is log on to smile.amazon.com and choose Basic Gospel as your charity. Then Amazon will donate a portion of every dollar placed to Basic Gospel, and that does not affect the special prices you pay on Amazon Prime Days or your Prime membership in any way. So if you haven't already done so, please log on to smile.amazon.com to make it count for Basic Gospel during this final Amazon Prime Day and literally all year long.
Yes, indeed. Well, Bob, let's do go to our phone lines. We're going to start in O'Fallon, Missouri, and talk to our friend Brad. Hi, Brad.
Hey, Brad.
Well, you guys just—I tell you what—I sit here and I've got my thoughts, I got my questions, but I get added to, and I appreciate you, Bob, and certainly Pastor Andrew. And I can't encourage the listeners if they want to. I saw some things about my excitement. Well, I'm blaming the three men I just mentioned for a lot of my excitement over the years, because it was this ministry, Basic Gospel, Andrew Farley Ministries, that has taught me and nurtured me and done all sorts of things over the years to bring me to this point of understanding new creation and new identity. And speaking of new creation and new identity, I want to tie it into 1 Corinthians 13, because that's where a lot of people go and take verses 4 through 7 and make them a litany list of things they have to do. But it's because of my teaching and coming to understand new creation and new identity and in the new covenant, and God living in and through me, wants to live in and through me. Those verses 4 to 7 are God's characteristic of his love. And he, if we let God be God, he will do those verses in 1 Corinthians 13 in and through us toward other people.
Yeah.
And I thank you, and I will let you answer our comment.
Yeah. Well, Brad, love your comments. I think we also got to get back to the fact that anytime there's a description like this, or even the instruction on daily living that we see in Corinthians and other places, that's not just prescriptive, it's descriptive. It's descriptive of our hearts. It's descriptive of our new life in Christ. You'll never see the Apostle Paul saying, hey, try your hardest to love people if you would. You know, do your very best to crank out 80% love, if you don't mind. I mean, this is, it's a pipeline, and it is agape love. It's an agape pipeline from heaven through Christ into us, out to other people. We either flick the switch to on, letting Christ be Christ, or we allow the Spirit of God to be quenched in a moment and say, no, I'm going to choose sin instead. I mean, there's two ways to walk. You walk by the flesh, you walk by the Spirit. There's no middle walk. There's no 60%. There's no halfway. And so I think you're right. I mean, we're reading Jesus's resume here in 1 Corinthians 13. Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. Jesus is not jealous. So this is what I can expect of him. And again, I just think that you see all of this New Testament instruction, it implies a willing heart. That's what we've got. We've got a new covenant, willing heart, an obedient heart, as Paul says in Romans 6. So all of these passages, when they describe what Jesus wants to do, hey, we're already on board at a spiritual level, at a core level, at a heart level. He took out our heart of stone. He gave us a new heart. We're on board. This is not just prescriptive. It's descriptive of what we really want. So thanks, Brad.
Yeah, thank you very much, Brad. Always good to hear from you. Let's keep it going. Let's go to Louisville, Kentucky, and talk to Mary Jo. Hi, Mary Jo.
I hope I can get this out. Apostle Paul, I don't understand it. The things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I want to do, this I do not do. And I was trying to tell my brother that's the condition of the flesh, and he didn't know what I meant by the condition of the flesh when he said he thought it was a willingness to do good or evil.
Mm-hmm. Good question, Mary Jo.
Yeah, it's certainly, you look at Romans chapter 7, and I personally, my opinion on this, although it's just an opinion, is that Paul is talking about his struggle under the law as a devout Pharisee. He's trying to get right with God. He thinks the law is going to bring him life. It actually shows his death. He's miserable. Who's going to set me free? And I think when he says, who's going to set me free, he's talking about meeting Jesus and coming to know the power of Christ in his life. And so people have debated, you know, is Paul describing his life before Jesus, or is he describing his life after Jesus? And I think the takeaway is, either way, don't live under the law. Either way, don't put yourself under the law, because then the flesh is excited. And you say, all right, well, what is the flesh? I mean, maybe that's the core of your question. The flesh is a human way of thinking apart from Christ, a worldly way of coping, a worldly way of living. It doesn't have to be heinous or shockingly evil-looking sins. There's religious flesh, there's spiritual-looking flesh, there's legalistic flesh, there's rule-based flesh, where people are saying, look at me and look how amazingly religious I am. I mean, there's all kinds of flesh. And so you say, well, gosh, that sounds really complicated then. How do I avoid all of that fleshly living? Well, I think the answer is simple. As little children, we fix our eyes on Jesus and we say, you know, I've got a new nature, I've got a new heart, I've got a new spirit, I'm joined to Jesus, I'm going to look to him today. I'm not going to let that old thinking reign, I'm not going to let that old way dominate me. I've got a new way to think, I've got a new way to act, and it's all about dependency on Jesus Christ in the moment. So, yeah, Romans 7, Paul is seeing in the past, he's seeing this history of a parasite called sin. I'm doing the thing I don't want to do. Sin is dominating. I'm doing what I don't want to do. Sin is taking over. It's no longer I who do it, but sin. I mean, he's discovered that without Jesus, we're all addicted to sin. But in Jesus, and because of Jesus, we have a new life and we're set free. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Bob?
Does that make sense to you, Mary Jo?
Well, it's a lot. My mind's trying to decipher it. But what's the condition of the flesh? Just lost and saved?
Well, yeah, so as a lost person, you were in the flesh, but now you're in the spirit. So your position has changed, your location has changed. I want you to imagine God as a crane operator, and he takes you out of Adam, and he transfers you across a great chasm, and then he puts you in Christ. He takes you out of Adam, puts you in Christ. Well, that's the same as saying he takes you out of the flesh and he puts you in the spirit. So you've got a new location now, Mary Jo. And yes, you can still hear the noise from that old place. You still get the thoughts of the flesh, but you've got a new freedom, a new victory in Jesus. So in one sentence, what is the flesh? It's the old way of thinking and the old way of acting.
Well, I'll get the CD and I'll study it and I'll call you back.
Okay. That sounds great, Mary Jo. Thanks for your call. Always always provide some good questions for us, so we appreciate that. Well, let's keep it going. Let's go to Michigan and talk to John. Hi, John. You're on the air.
Hello, Bob, Andrew. How you guys doing?
Hey, John.
Doing great. How about you, my friend?
Good, man. Tell Andrew the crane operator might make its way into a sermon up here.
Sounds good.
Well, I'm sure it will.
Yeah. Hey, quick question, man. I was doing a message the other day about God in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And I implore you to be reconciled. And I just thought, man, what a better group of guys to get the be reconciled defined for me and anybody else who's listening. I'll get off this and listen to you on the air.
Well, John, before you do, you were just you just took over as a pastor at a church in Michigan, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Give a plug. Give a quick plug about the church, because if you're listening to us and you live in the Michigan area, wherever this is, be sure and go visit. You're going to hear the grace of God expounded in a genuine, real, just human way. You will connect with John in a powerful way as he brings the Word of God, and we would really love for you to share in that. So, John, give a plug real quickly.
Sure, I appreciate it. It's East Point Community Church in Coldwater, California. That's where I came from, Michigan. No, I'm still doing that. I don't believe I'm here, and I'm just marveling at what the Lord's doing. But, yeah, Facebook, jump on there. We get live streams on Sunday and all that kind of stuff.
Well, John, give that one more time. You went over it pretty quickly. Give it one more time.
That's East Point Community Church in Coldwater, Michigan.
Very good. Very good. Okay, so how are we to be reconciled to God? That's John's question. So we read, for example, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And so something's already been done. God has removed the barriers through the work of Christ, and now he implores us, he begs us to be reconciled to God. Well, how do we accomplish that? What are we supposed to do? And it's simply a matter of receiving it. Paul talks about that in Romans chapter 5. He says, more than that, we also rejoice in God through Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. So we receive this by faith, don't we, Andrew?
Yeah, and, you know, God's done everything he needed to do. It's over. Jesus said it's finished. He meant it. God doesn't need to do anything else in terms of inviting people. The invitation is there. When the Son of Man is lifted up, he will draw all unto himself. Are some people going to resist? When Paul says, we implore you, are some people going to say no thanks? Absolutely. So it takes two to tango. God did his part, but he's not going to force himself upon us. Look, he didn't force Satan to obey. He didn't force Adam and Eve to remain in good standing with him. He doesn't force us. So the Holy Spirit is a gentleman, and today he's going about the business of convicting the world because they do not believe in him. But he is a gentleman. When you look at the fruit of the Spirit, even when you look at that 1 Corinthians passage of love that we were seeing earlier in the broadcast, I mean, that's a description of how gentle and kind and patient the Holy Spirit is, even with the world. He's not going to push himself on people. He's not going to force himself on people. He says instead, today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. You could, but don't. Don't harden your heart. Respond to the grace of God. Jesus already did everything. It's over. Crucified, buried, raised for you. So your response now, the ball is in your court. Your response is everything. And guys, that is the message that we proclaim every day, because people need to know how good the gospel is and that they can call upon the Lord and be saved.
It's a simple thing. It's by grace through faith. That's the whole story of the gospel. So God has done everything. That's his grace. It's been enacted in the person and work of Jesus Christ. We receive everything through faith. It's a very simple reality. So, John, great question today.
Yeah.
And, man, preach it well on Sunday.
You betcha, man. You guys are always in my thoughts and prayers. I appreciate you a lot.
Hey, thanks, you, John. We sure appreciate you as well.
Yeah.
Well, let's go down to Thorndale, Texas, and talk to Clay. Hi, Clay.
Hey, Clay. Hello, Clay.
Clay, are you there? Well, maybe not. He has a question on 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxieties or cares upon the Lord because he cares for you. And the question is simply, can you explain? What does that mean?
Yeah, well, I think that there's no roadmap for it, guys. I would just say be yourself, be real, talk to Dad, open up, shed some tears, be honest, be transparent, and that's what it means to cast your anxiety or cast your cares on him. Anxiety is what? Well, it's a fear of an unknown future. So whether it's 5 minutes away, somebody with stage fright, for example, standing at the back, ready to walk out with stage fright in 5 minutes, or 5 days, whether you're afraid you're going to lose your job, or 5 months, whether you're afraid you're going to lose your marriage, or 5 years, you're afraid you're going to lose your health. That's what anxiety is. It's fear about an unknown future. And so to me, guys, this passage is all about being real, being honest, being transparent, opening up from the heart, talking to Dad, realizing you can approach him with confidence and boldness, knowing that he hears you. This is about being real, because you're righteous and forgiven and loved and accepted, and you can be yourself with him. You don't need King James English. You don't need to fake it. You don't need to sound right. You just need to talk to Dad sometimes.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, I think you believe that he really cares for us, that he really loves us, and that's the truth. And so when we know that, then we truly can just be ourselves, and he's not going to judge us for being human. And that's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
And what a privilege it is for us to be here every day to share that good news. And friends, thank you for joining us today and every day on Basic Gospel. Keep in mind that if you have Bible questions or some troublesome issue of everyday living that you're struggling with, well, tell us about it at 844-322-2742. We'll be glad to discuss it on Basic Gospel. And, of course, in the U.S. and Canada, that number's the same. 844-322-2742. Give us a call, because we love hearing from you, our listeners. And again, thanks to the many of you who faithfully support Basic Gospel every month. Your prayers and gifts keep Basic Gospel on the air and online. Please help today if you can by clicking donate at basicgospel.net. And when you make your October gift, be sure to request your copy of our newest resource, Against the Current. Again, that's basicgospel.net. And, of course, Bob has been talking about Against the Current all month long, and what a wonderful resource it is. We hope you'll take advantage of the opportunity to get yours, again, by clicking donate at basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, and with thanks to our great friend Andrew Farley for being with us today, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.